A reporter for the Vietnam Veterans of America writes this for the organization's membership. Back in 2001, newspaper columnist Tom Philpott wrote a compelling book called Glory Denied, the saga of Jim Thompson, America's longest-held prisoner of war, the amazing true story of Colonel Floyd James Jim Thompson. The former Special Forces officer was captured by the Viet Cong in March 1969 and not released until 1973, giving him the dubious honor of being held longer than any other prisoner of war in U.S. history. Thompson suffered greatly during his 9 years of captivity, physically and emotionally. To add to his troubles, while he was being held by the Viet Cong, Thompson's wife moved with their 4 young children into the home of an Army sergeant. The Thompsons reunited after his release, but their marriage soon dissolved. Thompson later suffered a stroke that diminished his mental capabilities. In his book, Tom Philpott told Jim Thompson's story mainly through the verbatim testimony of his family, friends, and colleagues. Much of Thompson's own contributions came from interviews he gave for another book prior to his stroke. The Jim Thompson story intrigued the composer Tom Ciappullo, who sat down and wrote a contemporary opera based on the tale. New York Times critic Alan Kozin called the Chelsea Opera Veterans Day performance in 2010 a spare, affecting production. Instead of presenting the Thompsons' wrenching history as a straight narrative, Kozin said, Mr. Ciappullo tells it as a dialogue between past and present, with actions and their implications shown almost simultaneously. Although the musical has only 2 characters, Ciappullo has 4 singers play the 2 roles as the younger and older Thompsons. That from a report in Vietnam Veterans of America News. As it happens, Tri-Cities Opera in Binghamton will present Glory Denied on Veterans Day this year, a free performance for the veterans in the region and their families, as part of a host of events, many arts-related, in partnership with a number of veterans-related organizations. The production will be conducted by Joshua Horse in his TCO debut, with public performances November 10th, 11th, and 12th, and again November 17th and 19th at Tri-Cities Opera Center in Binghamton. To coincide with the broadcast premiere of the new PBS documentary, The Vietnam War, by Ken Burns and Lynn Novick, airing on WVIA-TV this week and next, WVIA's Peter Wynn paid a visit to Tri-Cities Opera to talk with Susan Ashbaker, General and Artistic Director of Tri-Cities Opera, and Al Eaton, President of the Southern Tier Veterans Support Group.
Al Eaton, I want to talk to you a little bit about the Southern Tier Veterans Support Group, what it is and what you guys are doing, and why are you doing it at this particular moment?
So it started out in 2009 when I was at Lockheed, and Lockheed Veterans Group wanted to get more involved in the community. So we made some initial contacts with the VA. We started bringing in people that did things in the community that helped veterans and realized that we needed a forum to be able to discuss common issues facing our veterans. In 2011, we became a nonprofit. And when we set the nonprofit up, we set it up with fairly broad guidelines. So all the money stays local. We serve 9 counties in the southern tier of New York and the northern tier of Pennsylvania, so 7 in New York, 2 counties in Pennsylvania, and we help them with a broad range of things from education, bill payment, medical-type bills, and stuff like that.
Well, have you noticed that there's a greater need for your activities, say, in recent years? Has something happened in society that has kind of changed the ground rules?
Yeah, I got to tell you, there's a couple things that come into play. First of all, I was very surprised. I thought, you know, we would help a few veterans and there wouldn't be that much need. But each year there's been more and more need, and I think it's for a couple reasons. One, some of the veterans in our community come from families that don't provide the support that, say, I had when I was growing up. So when they come back, they're trying to get a job, they're trying to find a house, they don't really have the family structure like I had, for example. And the other thing is they're seeing more difficult problems. Yeah, they're behind on their rent, but they're also trying to find a job. So what we try to do is we try to help them not only in the short term, but make sure that they've got a long-term plan. So last year, for example, we helped probably 400 veterans, and we donated about $93,000 to those veterans. And each year, like I said, since 2011, it's gone up, which has been quite a surprise to us that, A, the need's gone up, and the issues facing our veterans that are coming to us for help are more complicated.
Now, you've joined forces with the Tri-Cities Opera in production of an opera called Glory Denied, about the life and unfortunate repatriation of Colonel Jim Thompson. And I'm wondering if in some ways the issues in that opera are found in maybe not in microcosm, maybe in macrocosm in your community right now today.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, one of the things that personally troubles me and a lot of other people is the suicide rate among our veterans. 22 or so veterans commit suicide every day. It's been going on for quite a while, unfortunately. I found out the other day that of the 22 or so veterans, 14 of those are not in the VA system. So trying to reach them, number one, is extremely difficult. Of the 22 that commit suicide, the majority of those are Vietnam vets, which tells me that we haven't done a very good job. And we all know, those of us that are my age or whatever, know what it was like when people came back from Vietnam, the fact that they were disrespected, called baby killers and stuff like that, when they were just trying to serve their country. And so it tells us that if we don't do something with this generation of veterans, we're going to see the same thing, you know, 20, 30, 40 years. So it's very important that we address this. And I feel that something like what we're doing with Tri-Cities Opera, which is a community event, even though it's based on a veteran story, I think are very powerful.
Also, you might be able to reach a demographic that ordinarily you would not be able to reach. I don't know that opera fans are particularly pro-veteran. So here you're reaching an interesting demographic with an opera.
Yeah, I think so. I'm really excited about it. When Susan approached me last year and said, hey, I've got an idea. Can we get together for coffee and talk about it? And at first I was like, you know, why would someone from the opera want to talk to someone from a veterans group? But after our first meeting, we both just got really excited about the possibilities of this. And as I'm sure Susan will talk about, we put together a very diverse committee to look at this, and we're planning a range of things, not only for veterans, but also for the community, again, to try to heighten the awareness and try to get the dialogue going. Because I think if we talk about it, I think it'll go a long way to trying to solve the problem.
Susan, what's your input here? Where did you get the idea to involve a veterans group in this project?
Well, before I answer that, I'm going to go back and make a comment on what you said about a lot of opera goers may not be pro-vet, but I posit that they're all pro-humanity. And that's what this is about. This is about all of us and our humanity and how we embrace each other and treat each other, even if there are differences. Regarding the choice for this, I feel that it's very important and have said this since moving to Binghamton 3 years ago. Opera is relevant. It is about stories today. And opera is really the story with sung words and music and, you know, scenery. I wanted to make something that would have an impact in our community with current need, current issues, and beautiful music. Tom Ciappullo has written the most amazing score. He's taken the book Glory Denied by Tom Philpott, which in and of itself is an amazing read, and I would encourage anybody who is a reader to read this because it's a riveting story. But Tom Ciappullo has distilled it into an hour and 15 minutes of music, and it's a non-linear story. So you've got old Alice and young Alice, old Jim and young Jim on stage at the same time, and you're hearing what it's like for young Jim as a prisoner of war, remembering his life at home, and young Alice remembering the husband that left her. And then old Alice, who's become embittered and thought he was dead and moved on, and old Jim, who's been repatriated and realized that in the 9 years he was imprisoned under truly torturous conditions, he came back to a world he did not recognize, a nation he did not recognize, a wife who had moved on, and children who did not know him. And the intent of this is not for anyone to say, Tri-Cities Opera is taking a stance this way or that way about the Vietnam War. But it is about taking a stance about humanity. And we all know people who have served in the military at one time or another, whether they're in our families or friend circles. We all know people. And I thought this was a beautiful pairing of something that I wanted to bring to the community. And when I met Al at the Chamber of Commerce luncheon, I had this sudden inspiration that we should talk. And fortunately, it was well over a year before the production. And we just got so excited about the possibilities. And we've brought in the Binghamton Vet Center. We've brought in the Clear Path for Veterans. We've brought in Freshy Sites websites. And one of their employees is a vet as well. And this experience has been truly a template for the very best practices for collaboration. Everyone has brought their very best selves and best ideas to the table, and we've created a whole synergy of events leading up to the performances of Glory Denied, including a free performance for the veterans and their families.
Al, you mentioned something about 9 days of events that will precede the performances of Glory Denied. What are some of those like, and what's that about, and how was your organization involved in putting these events together?
Well, as I said, we have a really great committee, you know, and they've at one of our meetings, we were talking about different ideas, and because Colonel Jim Thompson was in prison for 9 years, someone came up with the idea of what if we did something for the 9 days leading up to the performance for veterans on Veterans Day. And so we started putting together some things, and some of the things that we're really excited about is on Friday, the 3rd of November, as part of Binghamton First Night, we're going to have an art show of a bunch of different artists, both paintings as well as some photographic art. So again, trying to have that conversation, trying to make people aware of, you know, some of the veterans in our community and some of the things they're doing. On Saturday, we're going to have, in conjunction with the Binghamton Vet Center, the second town hall. And town halls started as a way to provide a safe place for veterans and their families and others, really, to come together, and the veteran can talk in a very safe thing. There's no questions. And they can just talk about their experiences, whether, you know, I was in the Navy and this is what I did, or I served in a combat zone and this is what happened and how it affected me and things like that. As I mentioned, we've had one before. We had about 10 or 15 veterans, I think, speak. And it was very powerful, both for those of us, even though we're veterans, that didn't speak, but also for other people in the community. The other thing we're really, really proud and excited about is a lot of times we don't spend the time focusing on our women veterans. So on Wednesday of that week, we're going to screen a movie called Lioness about some female veterans who served in Iraq as part of the Lioness group, I guess is the best way to put it. So we're putting together several different things, again, to involve not only our veterans, but equally as importantly, the people in our community.
And the other thing is we have activities on each of these 9 days. One includes the first showing of a documentary by WSKG on Glory Denied, and the opera preview that's free to the public on the 4th as well. And we have performances on the 10th, 12th, 17th, and 19th that anyone can buy a ticket for, but the free performance for the vets and their families are on the 11th, which is Veterans Day, and we're very excited about that. And we have two casts for this because of two reasons. One, when you do so many performances in close proximity, it's not really easy for a singer to sing the role day after day after day, but also because this is an opera that is relatively new and not everybody knows it. So if somebody gets sick, I can't just call a friend in New York. So we have two casts, and I think it's very exciting that one of the cast members that plays old Jim Thompson is himself a 2-time Iraq vet, and he will bring an expertise to it that everyone else will learn from. And when Jeff and I were coaching the music earlier this summer, we got into some amazing conversations about service, about experiences, and how this music draws it out in a very emotional and beautiful way. So I look forward to actually having everything here.
Among the veterans that your group has been able to help, have you uncovered any men or women who actually shared the prisoner experience? Do we have any people here who spent time in a prison camp?
It's very unusual in today's war type thing for that to happen. But I'm part of a Korean War veterans group. In fact, they had breakfast this morning. And one of the veterans there is a Korean War veteran who was in prison for about 36 months in Korea and I think in China as well. So he's doing great now, but he's the only one I know of. And his stories are amazingly captivating. I mean, when you hear just what they did and how far they had to march and the conditions they had to live in, the fact that anybody survives is quite remarkable. And like I said, he's doing very well. And he's a wonderful guy. I know his wife, Karen, they're great.
But I can imagine, though, that even without the prison experience, you're having many of the same, or, you know, a veteran is having many of the same experiences that Jim Thompson had, first in imprisonment and then particularly coming home.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that go on in a combat zone that are shared by veterans, you know, of all eras, really. And one of the things that we've been trying to do, and I think one of the things that Glory Denied will help us do, is to get them to talk about their experiences. I think it's very therapeutic, whether they do it as part of a counseling session, they do it with their neighbors on their deck drinking a beer, or whether they do it as part of something like Tri-Cities Opera. We're actually doing, as a community, doing several things in the arts area, because you never know what's going to affect in a positive way a veteran as far as their healing and stuff like that. So at the Vet Center, there's an art program that's going on. We're doing a veterans photography program, the opera, obviously. So again, trying different things, because you never know, because different things affect different people in a different way. So really excited about this.
And of course, although not to minimize what the veterans go through, their families at home also go through quite an awful lot of suffering that maybe isn't getting much attention either.
Yeah, that's very true. And I mean, we're lucky in our community that we have the Binghamton Vet Center. The Vet Centers in Binghamton serves combat veterans, veterans that have been subjected to sexual trauma. It also, and a lot of people don't think about this, it also serves their families, to your point. There have been a couple cases where coworkers that I know have had sons or daughters that have come back from Iraq. And I always tell them, I said, go talk to the Vet Center, because you may not see anything bad, but you're going to see a different son or daughter when they come back, just because they're older, they've been through a pretty stressful situation, stuff like that. And they also help children. I mean, a lot of times, you know, children will see mommy and daddy come back and they just won't seem right to them for whatever reason. And some of it is just a natural, you're a little bit older kind of thing. But again, providing that kind of support so the family members know what the veteran's going through, you know, how they might be able to support them and things like that, I think are tremendously important.
Now, how do you feel that these things are embodied in Tom Ciappullo's opera, Susan?
Well, you get a glimpse of the lives of Jim and Alice. And, you know, Alice wrote to Jim every day when he was deployed. And he would read the letters. And there are snippets of the letters in the opera continuously. And she'd either start with "my darling" or "my darling Jim." And she would talk about what was going on with the children. So-and-so spilled the Cracker Jacks all over the floor. It was beautiful today. And that piece of his life that she was sharing really helped tether him to his own strength. When he was shot down, there were several letters in his pocket, and the enemy forces read those and used them to torment and torture him with thoughts about, you know, his family. And I think it's important to be able to look at both sides of the situation, because, you know, while the family back home may be going through a very difficult situation, it's nothing compared to what a prisoner of war goes through. And that is something that most of us cannot even imagine. And so to be able to, like Al said earlier, to talk about things, to address things, if we keep things hidden, no matter what the topic, it eats away at all of us. But if we engage in dialogue, and if we illuminate in one way or another a situation, then healing can begin. And I feel that this opera goes a long way towards understanding, towards healing, whether you're a person that was left at home, whether you're a person that's deployed, whether you're a person that has a neighbor that is a veteran. You'll have a little bit more empathy for the situation. And one of the things that's been great for me with this, I carry the bookmarks in my purse. And whenever I see somebody with a vet's hat, I just walk over and I introduce myself to them and I say, come to the opera, there's a free performance. And it's allowed me to engage with people that, you know, normally you don't walk up to strangers and say hi, you know, but it's allowed me to do that and to thank them for their service.
We know that Thompson's wife, Alice, became very embittered. I came across an interesting suggestion that part of her bitterness, I don't know whether Philpott explores this, is the fact that, in effect, Thompson volunteered for the particular service, that as a father of three children with a fourth on the way, he could have turned down a dangerous assignment. What about that? Is that true, Al?
Yeah, I actually read the same thing. I'm actually reading the book right now, and I think the other fact, which plays a lot on the family dynamics, is the fact that he was never home for the birth of any of his children. I mean, that happens quite frequently to some degree in all military, where the serviceman is gone, you know, when the child is born, but to have all, I think he had four children, all four children that he didn't see the birth for any of them, I mean, is very difficult, not only on him, but also on the family. And sometimes there's resentment that grows from that, and that needs to be addressed as well. And that's why I say getting counseling for the family members is very, very important. I mean, again, we focus on the veteran, but oftentimes our family members are suffering, you know, just as much as the veteran, if not worse. Because when I deployed in the Navy, you know, I was gone, I was focused on the mission and stuff, and my wife was back home with our two children, and she had all those responsibilities, you know, and stuff would pop up. Kids get sick, cars get broken and stuff like that. And if you don't address that, then I think you can cause some problems that eventually will destroy the marriage. So I think, again, this is a good chance for us to talk about those things. You know, one of the things that we'll do is we'll have these talkbacks after the performances. And I'm personally really excited about that because I think it'll be interesting to talk to the performers about their reactions, but also especially with the one with the veterans, is to get them to kind of open up and talk about their experiences and let them know that there's a lot of people that care about them. That's a tremendously powerful thing. And I think also with the public ones will be another good chance for, hopefully veterans will attend that. I'm going to try to attend several of those so that if they have, you know, when they have the talkbacks, you can kind of interject that as well, again, to raise that awareness. Because we have a really good community, and it's not that, I always say it's not that people don't care, they just don't know. But once they find out something like that, they react in a very positive way, and that's very helpful for the veterans.
One of the things I find intriguing is that you're having the performance for the veterans on, quote, Veterans Day. Mm-hmm. I'm old enough to remember when it was called Armistice Day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're talking about 1918, so obviously there's something that has got a long genealogy here.
Yeah, it's true. There's actually a lot of events going on in our community on Veterans Day. I mean, typically that's a time when you have the parades and stuff like that, but there's a couple races that are local, the opera. There's parades. There's just a lot of different things. Twin Tiers Honor Flight is taking veterans to Washington that Saturday. It's a Saturday, which is when they fly. So there's a lot of things going on. So there'll be a lot of focus on it. So good opportunity to have that dialogue and just, again, raise some awareness.
Al Eaton, president of the Southern Tier Veterans Support Group, Susan Ashbaker, general and artistic director of Tri-Cities Opera, speaking with WVIA's Peter Wynn about the opera Glory Denied by Tom Ciappullo, to be presented November 10th, 11th, and 12th, and again November 17th and 19th by Tri-Cities Opera at the Tri-Cities Opera Center, 315 Clinton Street in Binghamton, with a free performance on November 11th for veterans and their families. There will be 9 days of events leading up to the opera's opening. For example, on Friday, November 3rd, as part of Binghamton's First Night, there will be a special veterans art exhibition at a State Street gallery from 6 to 9 p.m. On Saturday, November 4th, there will be a free opera preview with Susan Ashbaker and composer Tom Ciappullo at the Opera Center. For more information about this project and this production, on the web, tricitiesopera.com, tricitiesopera.com. That is the opera Glory Denied by Tom Ciappullo, November 10th, 11th, and 12th, and again November 17th and 19th at Tri-Cities Opera Center, 315 Clinton Street in Binghamton, with a free performance on November 11th for veterans and their families. Thanks to the participants, Susan Ashbaker and Al Eaton, and to WVIA's Peter Wynn. This conversation is part of an Art Scene series this week, coinciding with the premiere of the new PBS documentary, The Vietnam War, by Ken Burns and Lynn Novick. It is a 10-part, 18-hour series that will run each night this week through Thursday, and again this coming Sunday through the following Thursday at 8 o'clock each night. For more information on the WVIA website at wvia.org, wvia.org.